For those looking for a liberatory martial arts learning approach and curriculum, we've created Liberation Martial Arts. It doesn't just teach you martial arts, it's also an approach to learning movement skills. The whole point of our program is to remove the need for a coach, to liberate you from the need of top-down instruction and toxic gyms. If you have a coach and also have a gym, then you can apply our learning approach to improve your progress. Or maybe you also need a supplemental martial arts community as a counter to the commercial gym you go to. You can actually apply our learning approach to learn anything, and our practitioners are. They're applying it to all sorts of things, whether physical, mental, or even personal. It's just a radically different approach to everything. Sign up for Liberation Martial Arts at the Southpaw Pod Patreon, or support us by signing up for one of the other tiers, and help us support this project while also getting access to bonus content, like early releases of SDS9 with transcripts. SDS9 Season 3 was recorded from the beginning of 2023 to early 2024 and was first published on Patreon. Now that we're done with the season, the entire season is being released all at once on the Southpaw public feed. Find Season 4 on the Southpaw Pod Patreon. This is Southpaw Deep Space Nine Season 3, where we analyze Deep Space Nine and Star Trek from a political and historical lens, episode by episode. I'm watching DS9 with fresh eyes, and Scott is our veteran Trek fan. We are discussing Season 3 of DS9, Episode 8, Meridian. Scott, can you tell us about this episode?
So, this is fun because this episode is directed by Jonathan Frakes, who plays Riker, and this is his second Deep Space Nine directorial outing since The Search Part 2. So this is letting you know, like, okay, this show is happening. We're here for a little while. Just giving you a little tidbit. So Kira is having hot coffee with Odo, and Odo's confused, and she explains that even though she could have the coffee made at the perfect temperature, having too hot coffee is part of the experience of having coffee. Odo says that he tried to eat once. You know, his physiology doesn't require food. And he says it was messy. And that's all I want to say about it. This guy, Tiran, shows up and clearly is sweet on Kira and apologizes for his behavior last night. He's trying to flirt with Kira, but Kira says that Odo is her boyfriend, so... and that her recollection of the night before was not Tyron's recollection of what was going on. So Tyron talks about how money is everything and he can do whatever he wants, and he leaves. And Kira walks away, and you can sort of see that Odo is having feelings, even though they were playing pretend. So, and despite the Dominion issues that are going on in this area during this part of Deep Space Nine in the Trek world, Ben is pushing by and continuing to explore the Gamma Quadrant and takes the Defiant to do some explorations. And they find this gravimetric distortion coming from a planet. The planet was not cloaked. It phased in. They go into the planet and they have humanoid inhabitants, and the planet is called Meridian. And it dimension hops, and they're invited over, the crew is invited over for the first meal. And on Meridian, it's a very vibey place. And Doral, one of the inhabitants, takes a shining to Dax, you know, and they explain that they're tethered between two dimensions. And when they shift every 60 years or so, they exist as pure consciousness, and Meridian becomes non-corporeal, and they only age when they're in their corporeal forms. And yes, I enjoy saying the word corporeal. Back on Deep Space Nine, Taryn is having a bad holosuite experience, largely suggesting that it's a sex thing. Taryn offers to pay a lot for a custom program. The program is with Kira's likeness. Quark, even though a little uneasy with this, always will pick money. So he will have to capture Kira's likeness to make the program. And we're to believe that the sum is very high. And again, Quark almost has an issue, but not enough for him to not do it. Oof, this subplot upsets me. On Meridian, Daryl explains that they came to Meridian thousands of years ago. They were lost, and their numbers have been dwindling because the shifts where they're corporeal are becoming shorter and shorter and shorter, so they have not had time to procreate. And eventually, the planet will cease to exist in both dimensions if the phases become shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. So Deep Space Nine, the team, wonder if they can slow down the shifts. And Dax and Daryl are going to do some scans on the Defiant and figure it out. And the Deep Space Nine team, there's, you know, you have Ben and Miles and Bashir and Dax and some other people. But, you know, that's the basics. On Deep Space Nine, Quark lures Kira into the bar and says that she's the millionth customer. And as millionth customer, there will be a prize. And Kira's kind of happy because she never won anything in her life. And Quark gives Kira some champagne and some Dabo tokens and says, you can have a free hour in the holosuite. And she's like, that's dope. I'm going to gift it to someone else. I don't do holosuites. On the Defiant, they send a probe and scans to try to understand what is going on with the sun and the planet and if they can figure it out. Dax and Daryl go on a wilderness walk. They take a nice little date on the Meridian. Daryl is a widower, and it's very clearly that he's struck by Dax and keeps on flirting by like, hey, let's see how many freckles or spots we have, you know? And they both find that cute. They go to climb a tree. Dax has never really climbed a tree. Like, none of the Daxes have ever. All Daxes have been afraid of heights, but they climb in the tree and have this beautiful view of Meridian, and they almost kiss, but Dax gets nervous. And then eventually they do share a kiss and they fall for each other. They do math and science and count each other's spots together, and it's very cute. And they realize that they can have Meridian come back next time for even longer. They think they have a fix. On Deep Space Nine, Quark is trying to make a hologram picture of Kira. She catches him. He says he's making a station simulator where people could pretend to be on the station, and she's not interested. And she's like, you need to chill with this shit. On Meridian, they have figured out to stabilize the sun so that the next time they return, they'll be able to stay corporeal for 30 years, which would give them a significant amount to regroup. But this would be in 60 years. And this is sad for Daryl and Dax, because they're really falling for each other. And Daryl offers to come back to Deep Space Nine. Back on Meridian, they are ready to plan, and Daryl tells his people that he's leaving. On Deep Space Nine, Taryn is growing impatient. Quark is working on making the hologram of Kira, but Odo points to Kira that we see Odo talking to Kira that someone has been downloading her information, her signature, her talk, her likeness, and they both know who it is. Back in Meridian, Dax is explaining the game Tongo to Daryl, and he's looking distant. He feels he can't leave Meridian. And Dax says, well, I'll go with you to Meridian. We can mimic the structure that will allow me to phase with you. And Jadzia asks for a 60-year leave from Starfleet, which she is given. Dax and Sisko have a tearful goodbye. You know, Dax has lived eight lifetimes and wants to see what it would like to live as pure energy, pure consciousness. On Deep Space Nine, Quark is about to seal the deal with Tyrann and gives him the holosuite program. And on the holosuite, he goes in there and he sees Kira's body with Quark's face. Tyrann is very mad. He's going to exact revenge. And Kira and Odo fooled them. They made a joke of all this, of this thing. They made this very trivial, which, yeah. Bashir and Dax have a goodbye. She says goodbye to everybody. And on Meridian, they're all getting ready for the phase. But something is going wrong. They can't phase with Dax there. She is anchoring them. They have to beam her up. Meridian phases out. Jadzia is sullen and inconsolable. She needs time. Just 60 years time.
A note to our listeners. If you love the Southpaw Project, please support us and help us get paid for our labor by financially supporting us on Patreon. This will give you access to exclusive bonus content, like early releases of Southpaw Deep Space Nine, our fictional narrative podcast, Fighters Brew, break-free versions of our shows without interruptions like you're hearing now, bonus articles, Fighters Brew transcripts with extra content, Liberation Martial Arts Online, as well as our private chat group on Discord. You can also make one-time donations at Ko-Fi or show your solidarity by wearing our swag. You can find all pertinent links at southpawpod.com. So, at this point, they're definitely playing with a love story with Kira and Odo, or at least some flirtation, something going on. But it's been slow and gradual. So if they never do anything with it, it's fine. But if it does go somewhere, then it didn't come out of nowhere. So I like these investments into long-term storytelling.
Yeah, you're starting to see them having feelings for each other has been gradual, and the progression of them making faces to each other, it's logical. It's not a ship that is out of left field. And I'm not saying the ship is happening. It's just like, yeah, as you're saying, if the ship happens, ship being short for relationship, but if you're listening to a genre nerd show like this, you know the term ship. It makes sense if they were to ship.
Yeah, even the last episode was building upon this. So it's not overt, it's not in your face, but something. So now in season three, DS9 is not only a space station story, they also have a military grade starship, and they're going to use it like they do in this episode. Also, like love stories and slow builds and gradual flirtations and feelings growing, we're also exploring sex pests in this episode. This time we see a rich sex pest that sees women as property to purchase and control. And we see that that's still very much alive and well in the future. So even in the future of DS9, property, ownership, currency, money, capitalism, unfortunately, is hard to abolish.
Yeah, and I have a lot of issues with the B story of this episode and how they didn't make it that big a deal, you know, because what Quark and Tyrann are essentially doing is creating deep fake porn of Kira, which is so gross and is becoming a real issue in the world. You know, and anybody thinking like, oh, I would just watch a deep fake pornography of a famous person, that is so fucked up on so many levels. You know, sex work is real work, and adult entertainment is great if you're into it. And there's also problems with it too, but it's not one way. However, it's consenting to create somebody's likeness on a hologram is not consent. And it just raises all these issues. And I don't think they were considering, because when they were making this episode so long ago, that, oh, this is some like next level sex pest shit. They're like, oh, it's cute. We're making a video game of Kira. Like, because if based on evaluations of now, this is a pretty terrible thing that Quark has done. Probably the most terrible thing he's done on the show thus far for me. And they're not treating it that way.
And I think we've talked about this before, where they just kind of bring up a serious moral question or action, and they don't treat it with the proper care and seriousness. They just kind of think of it as like a cute or interesting what if. It's more of a novel idea when these are things that actually harm people in the real world.
Right. And because it's already confusing what happens on Quarks, because it's, you know, a primetime television show. So we can make some, we've talked about this before, like that the Davo girls, there might be some element of sex work there. And this episode largely intimated that there are holosuites that you can, I don't know, I don't want to be gross, but you can do sex stuff, because sex isn't intrinsically gross at all. It's great. It's beautiful. And we can assume that on a ship with that many people, there are ways for people to deal with their needs in a hopefully healthy, safe, consensual way. And we can make the logical assumption that in a post-scarcity world, there are in a post-scarcity world, would you need, like, is there still sex work? I don't know. I'm not the right person to answer this. But I do wonder about the sex work piece in the Trek universe, which is something that I never really thought about when I used to watch Trek. And it's only in rewatching Deep Space Nine with the leftist lens and enjoying all of the new Trek shows that deal with complex topics head on, that allow me to consider and think about how that works in the Trek world.
To flesh that out a little bit, this episode, to your point, has two parallel stories about love. But the story with Kira is the story where the present time has caught up to DS9 storytelling. With the explosion of AI, we're all going to be immortals, but not in a good way. When we have our identity stolen, it's no longer just going to be our social security numbers. They're going to make deep fakes of us that live on forever, and it's going to be used to keep scamming people we know, get loans under our names, and keep receiving our social security benefits. Imagine even like our loved ones, our friends, saying goodbye to us, having gone to our funeral and then getting hit up by a scam, pretending to be us, asking for money, how traumatizing that could be. So it's going to be a level of scam where it's not just going to be annoying or going to be simply transactional, like they steal money from you, but there's going to be, you know, when you use likeness like that, when you use deep fakes, there could be like serious emotional trauma that these scams will also cause. So we've never even had to deal with that before, but now we're not even entering it. I think we're here now.
There will be a point where people will be able to have Skype calls with their dead relatives. And that goes both ways. There's going to be scams where your dead relatives will use the voices to steal your information, or there might be some sort of therapy created where you talk to a version of your loved one as a way to find closure. I don't know about all that. And I would venture to bet that all of these actors that are starting to be in tentpole pictures, like Marvel movies, Avengers movies, all of that, are probably having to sign likeness rights so that they get to be used in perpetuity, even if they die.
Right now, I know people who've had their social media accounts hacked, and whoever was in charge of it made deep fake video of them shilling a crypto scam. I know others where a bot took over their Facebook account and DM'd everyone on their friends list to start a conversation, and after a while told them they were going to kill themselves because they were really broke, then would ask them for money. And so this bot was having actual conversations with people with intelligence simultaneously with hundreds of people pretending to be this person. So someone making a deep fake of Kira for a porn, that's already happening now. You can even use an app to do it yourself.
It is happening. It's a big issue.
They were even doing a commercial about that where you don't even need any supercomputer or technical know-how. The way Twitter is now, it's so shitty and they're letting anybody run ads. There's ads on Twitter for apps that do deep fakes for you to create porn, because that was what was in the ad. You saw a celebrity about to do something pornographic and then it cut off there and told you the name of the app. So this is now. And also, fake sex tapes have existed before. The CIA in the past had enlisted the help of Hollywood to help them create them to overthrow leaders, like the independence hero Sukarno in Indonesia. But then they opted for genocide instead. So now I am skeptical of everything online. Like, if it's important, though I don't like making calls or receiving calls, I'm going to have to go back to calls now. My son is now 4, and I recently found out that he and basically every other baby in our city for the past several years have already had their IDs hacked from a lab. And it's because there's no point in selling the identities of adults like you and me, because it's already been sold. So they need fresh identities no one has stolen yet. Kira in this episode is like a metaphor for people who are like, I'm cutting off social media. And it makes sense for privacy reasons. And with Kira's security mindset, it also makes sense. If you love the Southpaw Project, become one of our financial supporters. It'll help us supplement the cost of running this project, the incredible time and energy we put into it 7 days a week, and you'll be giving us some breathing room, not only to juggle Southpaw with our day jobs, but also to expand Southpaw into other areas. We can't exist without your contributions. Show your Southpaw solidarity by supporting us at southpawpod.com. What's funny is, why is it so hard to make a deep fake of Kira when we've already seen this done in the Next Generation before? I've seen Next Generation episodes where they had holographic versions of other people that they never had to do these scans for. So I guess that was just a MacGuffin they needed for this episode.
A little bit of a MacGuffin, and probably because she's not technically Federation, they might just not have had the right recordings of her.
And to your point, this episode raises the question of morality and also of consent. If you could make a deep fake of a loved one, like you were pointing out, right? Is that even moral? To use it for a therapeutic sense, yeah. I see the self-interest, how it could help you, but if that person who died never gave you that permission, is that moral? I'm not being prescriptive. I'm not giving an answer. I'm just raising this because these are questions that need to be raised. Let's say you wanted to do a deep fake of, let's say, a celebrity for romantic reasons, right? Like, as you mentioned, is that moral? These are moral questions we've never had to think about until now. Who owns your likeness and image? Not in legal terms, but in moral terms. Even like what Quark is doing. Is this trafficking? And also, the other thing is, do the deep fake life forms get consent? You could have a deep fake, but it didn't seem like that guy wanted a deep fake that was like, yes, I want you. You know what I mean? It could have been also a deep fake that says no. Then what happens? Then it gets even worse and even more problematic as far as morals. And in previous episodes, they've already made canon that holographic life is life. And I even raised that when you do that and they're not going to keep that consistent, then that's going to lead to problems later on with the morals of this show. So with all these questions, I'm not saying I know everything, but this episode kind of just haphazardly raised all these questions. And also right now, people just fucking around with technology, all these Silicon Valley bros creating all this technology, and they're raising these questions and they don't even care about it. They're not even thinking about it from ethical terms. I saw a Korean movie not too long ago about somebody who had their likeness used to be replicated and used for like commercials and like used to be a generic voice. And, you know, that person is dead, but it's like, can a company, can somebody, even if you sign off on it, do they have the moral right to own your likeness, to keep you alive for eternity, to keep reusing you over and over again, right? These are questions that I don't think we often think about. And those things, some of those things have already been around.
Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, they made a documentary about Anthony Bourdain called Roadrunner, I think it was called. And they used AI to replicate Anthony Bourdain's voice to voice over some of the things he had written. And at the time, this was very controversial. This was very new. And now there's TikToks of just like this trope of Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Barack Obama playing video games and talking to each other. And people are just acting like it's this totally normal thing. But this AI voice stuff is really creepy. And it's very interesting that the A part of this episode, I'm not even that interested in. It's the side part that I'm like, this really frustrates me.
But it's not just the writers of this show. To your point, right? A lot of people are engaging in this moral gray area without even thinking about what they're doing. I've heard people just like, oh, I like making deep fakes of people, you know, as pranks or as fun. It's like, I think because there's no barrier to entry, because it's so accessible, they think it must be right. And things that are wrong, those are harder to access. And it's like, that is no way to judge the morality of something, whether it's easy to do or not. But that's often how we operate. If it's easy, it must be right. It must be moral. If it's hard to do, then it must be immoral, or at least something to consider, right? And it might be more that if it's harder to do, we just have time to think about what are we about to do. And if it's quick, then we just don't even have the time to think about what we're doing. We just go right off of impulse. But just because it's done quickly doesn't mean it's good, and doesn't mean that we're not doing something that could possibly be immoral. And you raised a lot of good points, because in DS9, they're saying Kira owns her image and it's immoral to take it without her consent. But that's not how it's always treated on Star Trek. And there's no moral consensus on this now either. And they didn't really make this side story even like as serious as it needed to be, with the care that it needed. And there were also characters that were doing things that were very immoral, and that was handled very nonchalantly. And even what was happening to Kira didn't seem like that big of a deal. It's just kind of like, oh, you try to mess with me, I'm going to mess with you back. Ha ha ha. We're all friends. It's just a prank. Because in the end, the person who wanted to take Kira's likeness gets his comeuppance and crisis is averted. But in real life, there's no way to avert such a crisis. We're in permanent crisis. Like, I think everyone I know, including myself, we're all in a permanent state of anxiety with no end. I know, Scott, you were talking about that in the last episode. And what's unfortunate is even the lack of consensus and thought on DS9 reflects how we are right now with all of this technology. You said people are just doing this type of thing that the main antagonist to Kira in this episode, people are doing that now for shits and giggles. And I guess that takes us to Dax's story. This is another pre-existing story tradition. It's the ship that appears once every number of years, or the star, or a town, or a time traveler, which is really a metaphor about time being fleeting and precious. And life is fleeting. Death isn't the end, because Yes, that person dies, but others around them keep living and move on without this person. It's the end for you, but for others, it's the end of their story with you. But their story goes on, and that's life. And so we theoretically ought to appreciate our loved ones more and also appreciate our own life more because it's fleeting, but also be better to people because even if we die, their memory of us lives on. I don't know if the story nailed all that, but that's what stories like these tend to be about. But like you, I felt the Kira and Quark story was more interesting than the Dax story, even though it was the B story. But they also are related in that the A story was about things being fleeting and ending. But really, with the holograph and deepfakes, it's like without your consent, you could just keep living on forever. Scott, did this episode work for you?
No, I thought it was a fine, you know, like I'm going to give it like a 3.5 because it was interesting, but, and I want to see more of Dax's emotional side, but we didn't really know why Daryl and Dax really liked each other. It just wasn't that good. 3 stars. I'm giving this episode 3 stars.
And I think we've talked about this before, right? The thing about DS9 is it messes and plays with the moral gray. And sometimes it's gray and sometimes it's messy. And this episode seemed really messy. And this time it seemed like they were trying to say something, but I think we both felt like, yeah, I don't know if we like what you're trying to say this time.
I did not like what they were trying to say, and I'm never going to look at Quark the same.
Scott, can you tell us about the next episode?
Yes, I can. So I did a little foreshadowing by saying the director of this episode. So this season, which is where they say Deep Space Nine grew the beard, gets a visit from the character for whom the beard, the term, came from.
I get to finally understand what that means. All right. Until then.
If you like this episode and like what we do, support us on Patreon. We also have the Liberation Martial Arts program if you want to train with us from wherever you are. It's both theory and practice and removes the need for an instructor. What you're learning is how to teach yourself. It's also an approach you can take with you from the gym into the world. Sponsors get a monthly training session with me, either in person or online. Supporting me not only helps me pay my bills, but it also helps me support my family. Find all our links, including Southpaw merch, at southpawpod.com.